When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the others sitting at table exchanging money. So he made whip up of cords and dropped all from the temple courts. Both sheep and the cattle, he scattered the coin of the money changers and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves and said, "Get this out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it's written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days." But the temple he has spoken of was his body, after he was raised from the dead. The disciples recalled that he had said, then they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus has spoken. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Vuvu. I want to show you a couple of pictures on the screen. First one, December the 1st, 1955. Rosa Parks refuses to sit down, refuses to stand up for a white passenger to sit down on a bus in Montgomery in Alabama. And for that act of civil disobedience, she was arrested and the Montgomery bus boycott was sparked. Now, a year later, this photograph was taken after the U.S. Supreme Court decided to ban segregation on buses. And here is Rosa defiantly sitting down on a bus. Second photograph, June the 5th, 1989. A man alone stands before a column of tanks in Tiananmen Square in Beijing, holding 2 shopping bags. And just for a moment, stops the progress of this military superpower across that square. We don't know his name. We don't know what happened to him. And then one final picture, June the 13th, last year. First match of the England, match of the Euro 2020, when the players and the coaches of the England team took a knee in a symbolic stand against racism. Now, there's 30 years between each of those images, more or less, and they're powerful images. They're images we recognize, we remember. They spark debate and discussion and sometimes disagreement. They show us that often actions do speak louder than words. Now, the passage we've just heard, we can go on to the next slide, Alan. The passage we just heard was possibly the most famous protest act of all time. Jesus clearing the temple in Jerusalem. I want to take a few moments just to explore what happened and why it happened. And what does it mean for you and me here in Harborne in 2022? So what does Jesus do? If you look at verses 13 to 16, this is page 1065 if you want to follow in the church Bibles. Because as with all these other famous protest moments in history, the background matters. And otherwise, it's just a man standing in the middle of a square. It's just a player kneeling on a football pitch. It's just a lady sitting on a bus. There's a whole history and background behind what is happening. At verse 13, Jesus goes to Jerusalem at Passover. Now, Passover is that moment every year where the Jewish people remembered how God had saved them from Egypt, had brought them to freedom, and they gathered to thank God for what he had done. Thousands of them coming to Jerusalem, the temple, the place where the center of worship in that nation at that time. And when Jesus goes into the temple courts, that's the sort of outside parts of the temple, he finds a noisy, crowded scene. Hundreds of people, selling animals, sheep, cattle, doves, others at tables exchanging money. You can imagine the sights, the noises, the smells within those temple courts. And what Jesus does in verse 15 is pretty dramatic, isn't it? He makes a whip and he drives everybody and everything out of the temple. The sheep, the cattle, those selling doves, he scatters the coins of the money changers. He flips their tables over. Can you imagine the reaction to what Jesus is doing? And if you pause for a moment, I wonder what your reaction is to that. We can go back a few slides, Alan, please. I want to think about what this event teaches us about Jesus. This is the first one. Next slide on, Alan. The first one that shows us that Jesus is passionate about worship. Passionate about worship. Jesus here is acting as, you might be surprised to hear Jesus doing this. Sometimes we have a picture of Jesus, gentle and mild, going around with little sheep and kind of gently caring for everybody. Well, not here. Not in this story. He's driving the sheep out of the temple, showing his passion, firstly, for worship. Why does Jesus drive out those animals from the temple courts? After all, they're only there because the law said people had to bring them there. And because if they're traveling a long way, well, they don't want to bring a sheep all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem. So the law said you can come and buy your sheep in Jerusalem and then bring it for the sacrifice. That's why the animals are there. But Jesus in verse 16 says this to those selling doves. He says, "Get these out of here. Stop turning the house of my Father into a house of trade." It's become a house of trade. And the problem is not the animals as such. The problem is what the people are doing with them. They've become, instead of a help for worship, they've become a barrier to worship. And God, even in his own temple, was being pushed to the edges, even excluded altogether. Instead of focusing on helping people worship, the focus is now on making money. And Jesus is having none of it. These temple courts, this was meant to be a place people came to meet God, to encounter God, to worship, to pray, to know their sins forgiven. And instead, it's been turned into a supermarket, an emporium, a place for selling and buying, with all the characteristics and the priorities of a Sainsbury's or an Aldi. Imagine, the place built to worship God has become a house of trade. And Jesus is so passionate about that, that he drives the animals out and the people selling them with them. I wonder what you think of this picture and what this might mean for you or for me today. After all, we have no animals, I don't think, in the building today. We don't tend to bring money changers into our worship patterns, usually. But are there parallels in our lives? Are there things for you and for me that perhaps began as a useful way to connect with God that have now become distractions, barriers for us? And I was wondering yesterday about the place of our phones. Many of us have prayer apps on our mobile phones or Bible reading apps, and they can be brilliant. But how do we engage with those and avoid the distractions of the breaking news alert from BBC News or the message that comes in as we're reading or praying? These constant distractions that can pour in like those sheep and goats and doves that were filling that temple. Where might we need to drive out some of those distractions so that we can focus on our worship? Are there things we need to lay aside to allow God to take his rightful place in our worship? Jesus is passionate about worship. And there's such a contrast, isn't there, if you were here last Sunday, between the story we read last Sunday and this. Do you remember last week? Jesus at a wedding in Galilee, miles from Jerusalem, the back of beyond, the middle of nowhere, the most ordinary place you can imagine, at a wedding that had gone wrong, badly wrong. And what does Jesus do there? Poured out extraordinary help in that moment of need, showed his grace to those who were desperate for a solution. And yet this week, in the very place we might expect to meet God, the temple at Passover in Jerusalem, here, Jesus has got some pretty strong words to say. You have turned my Father's house into a house of trade, into a market. Jesus wants our priorities to be rearranged. Passionate about worship. I don't know what that might mean for you. Maybe in our home groups this week, we could discuss that. What might it mean for us to pick this same passion up for worship? How might it change the way we approach things during the week? Not just on a Sunday, but in our whole weeks. Then the second thing we see here is that Jesus is not just passionate about worship, he's also passionate about justice. About justice. And we see that in the way that Jesus scatters the coins of the money changers. Money changers. Why were they there? Well, people had to bring a tax to the temple. We see that in Matthew 17, where Jesus and Peter pay the tax. But they couldn't pay the tax just with normal money. They had to use a special kind of money. And so when they got to the temple, they had to exchange their normal Roman money with the temple money. And that's what the money changers were there for. That's okay. But the problem was, as Jesus says in Matthew, Mark, and Luke when he's at the temple, they had made this place a den of robbers. They were cheating people. They were exchanging at the awful rates. And they were robbing people sometimes with false coins and with all sorts of other tricks that people were being exploited. And of course, it was the most vulnerable, those on the margins, the poorest who were worst affected. And Jesus knows this. And Jesus scatters the coins of those money changers. And by the way, isn't that a wonderful picture? I wonder how many beggars that night in Jerusalem were able to eat because those coins had been scattered all over the place through the courts in the temple. Jesus is passionate about justice. We've just sung, God of justice, friend of the poor. And I guess the challenge for us this morning is, do we share that same passion for justice? When Jesus saw what was happening, he was furious. Scattered those coins. What is it around us that provokes us to action? Is it just when the bus doesn't come, or we get stuck in traffic, or our computer doesn't work? Are we ever provoked into action by injustice that we see around us? That could be through speaking up for those with no voice. It could be, as we've thought today, by getting involved in the food bank, in those welcome boxes for people arriving as refugees. And if we wanted to push this even further, and this is dangerous ground, I know, but what if Jesus had access to those piles of coins that sit in our bank, in my bank accounts? How would Jesus perhaps want to scatter those coins to places where people felt the weight of injustice? Jesus is passionate about justice. And again, perhaps in our home groups this week, we might discuss what that means for me. What might change in my life if I truly took on that same passion for justice that Jesus shows here? So a passion for worship and a passion for justice. But before we finish, let's not miss that there is something else here. Jesus is passionate about new beginnings. I love the way that we see this picture of Jesus taking the table and flipping them upside down. The tables are turned. You can't continue as a money changer with your table upside down. Your coins are gone anyway. Business is over. It's game over. It's finished. It's done. There's something new that's going to begin. a new way of operating, a new practice. And Jesus makes this very clear in how he replies down there in verse 19. When he's challenged, people say, what are you doing? Who are you? What sign have you got to show you've got authority to come in here and clear out our place of worship? And Jesus' reply is intriguing. Verse 19, he says, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. That's a very odd thing to say. And the people who hear him think he means the temple around him, the building that they stood in. But actually, verse 21, he means his body. Jesus speaking about himself. What authority do I have to declare a new beginning? Jesus says, if you destroy this body, in 3 days, I will raise it again. Jesus' passion for new beginnings will take him to the cross. And beyond the cross to the resurrection. And that is his authority to offer you and me today a new beginning. Jesus says, my body is the temple, the place where earth and heaven meet, the place where people come to worship God, to meet God. That is in me, says Jesus, in me, not in a building made by humans. And you and I today don't need to come to this building to meet with God, because God moved into the neighborhood. You remember back in John 1, 14. I'm replacing this system, Jesus is saying. All of these sacrifices and this money and these temple taxes, all of this I'm replacing with my body. One sacrifice for all time. A new beginning. We're going to think much more about that new beginning as we read through the rest of John's gospel together. But today, I just want to finish with this invitation in this passage for you and for me, that Jesus is inviting you and me today to a new beginning. Perhaps you've been hearing what I've been saying about this passage and listening to the words of Jesus and thinking, my passion for worship doesn't match the passion that Jesus shows here. And I'm aware of that. I recognize that. There are other things that have crowded in, those notifications on my phone that pop up. Other things that pull me away from prayer and Bible reading and even coming perhaps to worship with others. And I long for a passion for worship as Jesus shows here. And maybe the passion for justice is what you've been struck by. That your passion for justice is not the same as Jesus's. And you know that. And you recognize that you long for an ignition of that passion. That you would be as caring and as loving for those around you as Jesus is when he scatters those coins or feeds those, provides wine at that wedding. And you long for that, but you don't know, how do we get there? How do I find that passion? Well, Jesus is offering each of us today a new beginning. A new beginning. There's no hopeless failures in God's sight, because God is always ready. Jesus is always ready to offer a new beginning, to turn over a table in your and my life and allow us to start again. That's what Jesus came to offer. And once again, in home groups this week, we might talk about what that means for us. How might Jesus be wanting to turn over tables and allow us to start a new beginning this week, this year, in this place? Jesus is passionate about worship, passionate about justice, but he offers us the chance to start again, a new beginning. I'm going to pray that we might discover that today and invite Sylvia to come and be ready to play for us for our final song. So let me pray. Lord Jesus, as we read of your passions, the things that stirred you into action, we're aware that we too often have not been driven by those passions, but by passions for other things. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness where that's true of us. And Lord, we ask that you would ignite in us a passion for you, for your glory, a passion for worship, a passion for justice, that we might be those who receive that new beginning. And then as we leave here today, we take that offer, the wonderful good news of that new beginning to those we meet in the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Not because we are in any way better than anybody else. or are particularly worthy of receiving from you, but because in Jesus you have come to offer that new beginning. So we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.